Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify.
Happy New Year. Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, nutritionist in New York City, who works alongside Dr. Hoffman. I want to welcome you to Layla Weighs In, my weekly podcast where I weigh in on topics of interest, on any questions that you send me, and you can email those questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So happy New Year. It's really cold here in the Northeast and much of the country as we're getting this blow of weather from the Arctic. Very, very cold outside. So is anybody getting cabin fever? Listen, it's still best to go outside and let the sun hit your face a bit. Now, bundle up, wear a hat, wear maybe two scarves, cover your mouth, cover your nose. But to go out and to be able to walk, even in this weather, again, cover yourself up. Make sure that you're nice and bundled up so you don't get any frostbite anywhere. It's still good to be out in the weather, enjoy the cold. The cold also helps us to burn more fat. We burn more calories when we're shivering a little bit. It gets our brown fat, the metabolic fat stores going and metabolizing. This is all good. So what better time than the new year to be establishing some healthy new habits? Now, I've written about this in our newsletter. I think it merits mentioning here as well, that experts say that we don't actually break a habit. Psychologists, psychiatrists, they say that really we simply replace our habits with a new one. So pick a not so healthy habit, decide what you want to change. I mean, the New Year is the time of New Year's resolutions, right? So what better time than to A, reflect on the previous year and think about the things that you may want to change. So, how we eat is actually a behavior. Did you know that? How we eat. Of course, we need to eat to live. But how we go about doing so, and I don't mean if you use utensils or not. It's how much, how often, how fast, our satiety cues, when we eat. Are we eating only when we're hungry? Are we eating when we're lonely or sad or tired or anything like that? So, think about some eating habits. For example, if you're always the first one to finish your meal at the dinner table, you're probably eating too fast. So think about replacing that particular eating behavior or that habit of eating too fast with eating more slowly. You want to remind yourself to put down your fork and knife between bites and chew. You want to notice the textures, the flavors of your food. You want to be present. You don't want to be eating your food, chewing your food, and thinking about the next thing on your list to do today, what errands you may have to run, the things that you have on cue tomorrow, for example. So be present. It's better for your digestion. You'll also be able to recognize better when you're full and satisfied, and when you're actually done eating. And you may be surprised and delighted to find out that you're no longer a member of the Clean Plate Club. Right? I remember growing up and my father saying to me, oh, finish your plate. There are hungry children in Bangladesh. They don't get to eat. And out of guilt, yes, I would finish my plate. Thankfully, my plate was not piled very high or anything like that, or I did not have to overstuff myself to the point of being very uncomfortable. It's never a good idea. And parents, let your kids let you know when they're done eating. Of course, you want them to eat your eat their vegetables and things. Of course you do. But they can tell you better when they're full and satisfied. No reason to add more food to the plate when they're done. This is where our eating habits are actually established in our formative years. If we're feeding our kids too much or feel like they haven't eaten enough or not relying on their internal satiety cues, we really need to change that, because a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, even a 12-year-old is going to know when they're done eating, they're full, they're satisfied. And we should pay attention to them for establishing our own internal satiety cues. You really want to be able to sense when you're full. And when we eat too fast, we don't know that we're full until finally, when the food is gone, we are overstuffed. Now we are uncomfortable. But if you're present and you slow down and you put down the utensils between bites and you eat more slowly, you actually get to feel yourself getting to feel full and satisfied. And that beautiful, tasty meal lasts longer. You get to enjoy it longer. You get to enjoy it more instead of then having to go for seconds or even thirds if you've been eating too fast. Keep that in mind. And another thing, and I'm going to be talking more this month about different habits to think about establishing in the new year. So that's one. And now here in January, hot off the presses, this is in the Wall Street Journal, a diet strategy that counts time and not calories. So the premise is you could eat whatever you want with time-restricted feeding, not just whenever you want. The weight loss regime, this weight loss regime, requires that you eat within a discrete 12-hour window each day. And this can be good for diabetes prevention, longevity, and blood pressure. Now, this brings in the principles of intermittent fasting, where we eat within a discrete period of time and then we're fasting for a longer time. And that time could be anywhere from 12 to 16, even 18 hours that we're not eating. So what they're talking about here is limiting eating to a 12-hour window so that for the next 12-hour window, you're not having anything to eat. So what they're saying is stop counting calories. It's the clock that counts. And the concept between time-restricted feeding, or TRF, time-restricted feeding, a strategy increasingly being studied by researchers as a tool for weight loss, diabetes prevention, and even longevity. In time-restricted feeding, you could eat whatever you want, as much as you want, just not whenever you want. Daily food intake should be limited to a 12-hour window, and ideally cut down to 8 to 10 hours. So, for example, if you cut down your eating window of time during the day to eat to 8 hours, then you've got 16 more hours that where you will not be eating. This is a core concept of intermittent fasting. Remember that you're not eating for the 16 hours during the night and in the morning, right? And that your first meal of the following day is actually 16 hours after your last meal. So you can pick the hours you want to eat. And note, this doesn't mean you should stuff your face with cupcakes. We can assume that, right? Experts say you should dine as you normally would. Only non-caloric drinks like water or black coffee are allowed during fasting hours. And we know that even with intermittent fasting, you could get up in the morning and have a cup of black coffee, right? There's no calories there. You're not putting, obviously, you're not adding any sweetener to it or any cream or anything, or even coconut oil. You're not even making that a bulletproof coffee yet because that has calories. So, despite a lack of dietary restrictions, most people following time-restricted feeding end up consuming fewer calories and lose weight, according to the experts. Preliminary evidence also shows other health benefits of fasting for 12 hours or more, including lowering blood pressure and improved glucose levels, and physiological changes linked to slowing the aging process. Researchers believe that when the body kicks into fasting mode, it more efficiently breaks down food and fat in particular. And, you know, another core reason that intermittent fasting, or what they're calling here time-restricted feeding, another core concept of that is when we're in fasting mode like this, it's an opportunity for the body to upregulate its repair processes, to get rid of any old cell debris, apoptosis program, cell death, take care, cleaning house, so to speak. The body is cleaning house. It's repairing, it's maintaining, and this happens while we're fasting. Because when we're eating and we're busy digesting, the body's concentration are on those metabolic processes, not on cell repair and cleanup. So fasting is beneficial in this way. So experts have first tracked the effects of time-restricted feeding in mice. In 2015, the studies were expanded to include humans using a free research app called My Circadian Clock to follow 156 people. Dr. Panda, the scientist who did this research, found that 50% ate over the course of 15 hours and only 10% restricted meals and snacking to the recommended 12 hours or less. And the findings published in the journal Cell Metabolism showed that when 8 overweight people who naturally ate for 15 plus hours a day restricted their eating to a 10-hour window for 16 weeks, they lost 4% of their weight. So when you restrict your eating to a 10-hour window, you're fasting for the other 14 hours. Again, intermittent fasting at work. A year later, they reported sticking to the plan, even though they didn't have to, and they kept the weight off. Quote, Dr. Panda says, all of them said they slept better and they felt more energetic throughout the day. They were actually feeling less hungry. The time-restricted feeding studies of mice, which provides the bulk of research on the strategy, have found that the body, when fasting for half a day or more, has more time to produce the components for cellular repair, break down toxins, coloring agents in food, and repair damaged DNA in the skin and stomach lining, according to Dr. Panda. Everything that I just talked to you about a moment ago. There's also some evidence that time-restricted feeding may reduce the risk of breast cancer. So, most of the repair processes peak around 12 hours after fasting starts. Interesting. So you're better off even limiting your time to not having your feeding time within 12 hours, but maybe within 10 or even 8. I've heard some people even do 6, which is interesting. So consider that. As far as cancer, intermittent fasting is helpful because it really reduces the amount of insulin being secreted. And we know, since the 1980s at least, that there's an intimate association with hyperinsulinism, too much insulin secretion, and cancer. So, other doctors have become proponents of time-restricted feeding after coming across Dr. Panda's study in mice from 2012. They start recommending to their overweight patients to restrict their eating to 11 to 12 hours a day. Since then, she's recommended time-restricted feeding for patients who need to lower blood pressure or blood glucose levels. Some doctors have reported that many patients have gone off blood pressure medications. In some cases, they've seen a reversal of prediabetes. Over 50 million Americans are walking around with prediabetes. That's a statistical fact. So imagine that. So, let's see. Now, somebody who's a fan of time-restricted feeding, her name is Vivian Rutness, is among them. For the 66-year-old El Dorado, California resident, dinner parties now start at 4 p.m. Early bird special, anyone? She says, I've just told all my close friends that I have to eat before 7 o'clock, and they've accommodated. So, and apparently Vivian Rutness has tried countless other diets. So, and since restricting eating to 10 to 12 hours a day about 5 months ago, she's lost about 6 pounds. Bravo. That's wonderful. Her typical schedule begins with coffee at around 7 a.m. and always ends before 7 p.m. While she tends to eat a healthy diet, Ms. Rutness said that she's indulged in dessert more often since starting time-restricted feeding and still lost weight. Isn't that grand? She says, I don't have to count calories or think about what I'm eating now. It's also easier because you're not depriving yourself of things. This doesn't feel like a diet to me. Yes, because we know diet is a four-letter word. Preliminary findings from one study show that what time participants start eating may be irrelevant, and that health benefits may be independent of weight loss. Leonie Heilbronn, an associate professor at the University of Adelaide in Australia, is studying the effects of time-restricted feeding in 16 overweight men at risk of developing type 2 diabetes. The men followed two schedules, eating from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. or from noon until 9 p.m. for 1 week, and then, after a two-week break that would be called the washout period, eating on the other schedule. So basically, these men traded schedules. One group do eating from 8 a.m. to 5, and the other group from noon to 9. And then after a two-week break, they switched. Both groups of men swapped those schedules. Dr. Heilbronn said both improved their glycemic responses, referring to the effect food has on blood sugar levels. While the men lost weight, she said, it wasn't enough to account for that improved glucose level. There's something else going on that's not just driven by weight change. That's true. Glycemic responses, insulin levels, glucagon levels, these are all the biochemistries that are responding to this fast. Courtney Peterson, an assistant professor in nutrition sciences at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, found similar results in a pilot study of eight pre-diabetic men. Participants ate 6 hours a day for 5 weeks, and then ate the exact same foods over 12 hours for 5 weeks. Dr. Peterson said researchers found no difference in the men's blood sugar levels, but their insulin sensitivity, or the body's ability to process sugar, and blood pressure both improved. The study is under review for publication. Wonderful. Dr. Panda, meanwhile, is working on a new, larger clinical time-release feeding trial of 150 firefighters. Funded by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the study is a collaboration with Pam Taub, a cardiologist and associate professor of medicine at the University of California, San Diego Health System. Dr. Taub is also conducting a separate study in which USSD patients with metabolic syndrome restrict eating to 10 hours a day. Preliminary data show weight loss and improved fasting glucose levels. Konstantin Shevchenko, one of the participants, said he lost 30 pounds and he's seen his blood pressure and glucose levels improve since starting time-restricted feeding in late August. This 48-year-old now eats between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m., whereas previously he ate as late as 10 p.m. When you eat by schedule, automatically I started to eat a little bit less, said Mr. Shevchenko. So, at the University of Illinois, Chicago, Associate Professor of Nutrition Krista Voradi tested a strict 8-hour diet among 50 obese people in a 12-week study. The participants who ate between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. consumed about 300 fewer calories a day and lost on average 7 to 8 pounds, she said. All of the weight loss was due to a decrease in fat mass, not muscle mass, said Dr. Voradi. The study's under review for publication. I think the real power of time-restricted feeding is the simplicity of it. So there you go. More, this is a concept of intermittent fasting, which we've long touted here on Intelligent Medicine, and all the more reason to try it. I'm wishing you a happy new year. Thank you for joining me on Intelligent Medicine.
As a health-conscious person, you're going to love our new sponsor, HealthIQ. HealthIQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, healthy eaters, and more. The HealthIQ advantage is their unique mortality model on the health-conscious and lower rates for health-conscious people, like a good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have unique underwriting that's tailored to the needs of the health conscious, so things like having an adverse family history won't typically drive your rates up. You can actually qualify for up to 33% savings by doing things like taking a health IQ quiz and scoring elite, having a membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year, and more. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Hoffman or mention the promo code Hoffman when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Even if you don't qualify, Health IQ will use their world-class underwriting team and shop the nation's top 30 carriers to get you the lowest retail rate in the market. So don't miss your chance to save up to 33% in your life insurance and check out healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify today.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.